to do tomorrow?
Huh? Dance. Oh my, that's rough. Damn, Jenna. Wow. That's rough. It was tight. It was a little tight. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we are now joined by our Dash for Cash winner, driver of the number 16 Chevrolet for colleague Racing. We're going to start with questions. If you have a question, raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. Jenna in the front.
All right, Jenna. Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me. You said something on your radio, I guess, before the first overtime, like you were toast or over it, or you know.
I'm always over it here. Tell, is this on?
Yeah, back yes. away from yes. it.
How about this? Yeah, or I can yell. It doesn't matter. No, what I was saying was, the car handled pretty good, but it, like, we get about halfway down the straightaway and it just kind of run out of speed. So a lot of those guys, the junior cars, especially when the junior cars were behind me, but, you know, even Sieg, like, they could get to my bumper, and usually, you know, they kind of get to your bumper and they push and you kind of get away. Well, we'd never get away, so they could just stick to the bumper, and it just made it really hard to hold on to, and that was kind of what was I was referencing was, I was like, I don't know how to block these guys, because the one time Sam had a run on me, and he was pushing me so hard, I went to defend, and it was like, if I keep turning, I'm crashing. And so I just kind of knew that it was going to be tough to make a move like that if it was in that scenario. And that's kind of what happened on that last restart. I kind of checked up because I didn't know if Justin was laying back. And, you know, by the rules, you can't launch before him. I didn't realize he was running out of fuel. So that allowed Noah to get that big run and get in front of me. Well, I mean, I kept backing up to try to get a run. And, like, we never could really get the run. And then, obviously, Jeffrey had a run and all that, and then it was just kind of hanging on. So I always kind of knew if it kind of came down to needing a push or anything like that, they could easily get to our bumper and then kind of just really just chip me out of the way. So it was a little bit of survival. So we need to go do our homework a little bit going into Daytona and kind of work on that.
So you're the leader at the first overtime, second overtime. Are you like, come on, like, give me a break?
You know, especially at Talladega, because even though the line's not that much further through the tri-oval than at Daytona, it's, you know, a lot's going to happen in those two laps. So even when I had the lead and the caution came out, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I had this. And you just knew it was always going to come down to that run or that push. And that's, I got the lead on the outside, and I kind of debated on, do I take the outside again? But with the way they were getting runs on me, I thought maybe the inside would be better, at least so I could have one lane I could always block and no cars were going to be behind me. But it was tough for the inside lane to stay attached, and that's how Justin got back around me and was able to lead the last restart. So I knew it was always going to be a challenge. You know, in these races, of course, you'd like to win them, but, I mean, it's just happy to get out the top five. And, you know, the Dash for Cash is a lot, big bonus at least with it.
So does that $100,000 check go straight to Tara, or do you get to spend any of it?
It just goes to Mr. Tickles.
Tickles. What does he need?
He's you know, he's very pristine like that. He just needs a lot of treats. Yeah.
Do we have any additional questions?
All right. Thanks for having me today, guys.
All right. Thank you, AJ.
All right, we've now been joined by our NASCAR Xfinity Series race winner, Noah Gregson, who is the driver of the number 9 Bass Pro Shops True Timber BRCC Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports.
Well, it's far away.
Do you need to adjust? Are you good?
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
You sure?
Yeah.
You can adjust the chair.
Hello?
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Congrats, Noah, on the victory. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes. We're going to go straight to questions for Noah. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We're going to start in the back with Jim Utter.
JimHunterMotorsport.com. Congratulations, Noah. I know that probably for a lot of people the multiple overtimes were frustrating, but it seemed like for you and maybe a few others, they appeared to be opportunities. Did you look at it that way? How did you approach the end of the race?
Yeah, I felt like that sounds weird. I felt like, does that sound weird? Hello? 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 I felt like, hello? 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 Hello?
You're good.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can? Okay, so what was the question? I thought that, it was opportunities for us. I didn't really feel like I had the car to control the race. We just didn't have the raw speed in it to be able to lead the line, you know, through there or up there. So I kind of shifted the way I approached it about mid-race, midway through the second stage, and just started running the bottom like an ARCA race and let those guys try and make a move and jump to the outside, and then they just shuffle themselves back. So, I thought there for a little bit we were going to run 14th or 15th and just, you know, we were just there. Didn't really feel like we had the car to make aggressive moves and make our way up there, but those guys kind of just, I don't really know. I got to go back and watch. I don't know how I got up there, but all of a sudden we were fourth, and then the seven, he ran out of fuel or something, and we got the jump. I got to go back and watch it, but just super, super thankful for Luke Lambert and the rest of the guys. They did a great job with pit stops and getting enough fuel in it, and seems what it kind of came down to. So I was really nervous there at the end with just watching the fuel pressure gauge the whole last lap, and we had plenty of fuel in it, so just ended up working out and just never quit.
All right, we're gonna work our way up front here, and then yes, remind me of your name again.
Nathan Buckley.
Nathan, yes, go ahead.
I know, I'm Nathan Buckley at Full Sail University. This is kind of a two-part question for you. First of all, when you went to go lift the trophy in victory lane, were you aware of just how heavy it was?
I knew it was heavy. My buddy Zane, he won the ARCA race here, so I've lifted up before, but never over my head. And Josh Wise has been pushing us hard to work out, but I need to go a little harder because I'm not very strong, I guess.
And second part of that question is, if you win tomorrow with Beard Motorsports, are you going to try to repeat with that?
It looks even heavier, but I'll try.
Almost double the weight from what I hear.
Yeah, it's... That's a cool one, but before we get to that, we got to execute and stay on the lead lap tomorrow and stay focused and minimize the mistakes before we can even think about winning the race. That it's a long race tomorrow, so super thankful for that opportunity, and it's pretty cool. We got a great looking car on that side, and that's the goal, to get there. So we're gonna try our tails off.
All right, thanks, Noah. Congratulations.
Thank All right, Jordan, go ahead, and then we'll pass the mic back.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Two questions for you. Do you feel like you've changed or evolved as a driver in the last year or so?
That's a good question. I think I'm always maturing more as a person. And I think the group that we have around us, I've been with the same group at Junior Motorsports kind of as a majority for the last, 3.5 years now. So we've been able to build, and I've been able to kind of fine-tune on the package that I need and what I need to feel as a driver. And when I get to the racetrack in the Xfinity Series, I kind of feel like I'm the bigger fish in the small pond or in the pond. And it's really enjoyable when I get to the track, and we put a lot of preparation through the week. But when I get to the Xfinity races, I just have fun and we enjoy it, and I'm really cool, calm, and collected behind the wheel. And I'd kind of need to think about how much I've matured behind the wheel. I think I've been more patient, but definitely been just having the most fun I've ever had in my racing career, like back to Legend Car days and Bandoleros, where you just showed up and you just had fun. And I'm a guy where I feel most comfortable when I can joke around and have fun with the guys. And I know when I put that helmet on that I have an opportunity to win the race. The cup side, on the other hand, I'm the minnow in the ocean, I feel like. So I'm still trying to earn respect over there. And that's over here, I'm so comfortable in these cars. But over on the Cup side, I feel like I'm relearning everything and just trying to keep the fenders on it. I was joking around last weekend. I said, man, I try and keep the fenders on it every race and not wreck. And I've been 0-for-3 so far. And Cup racing, maybe I need to go try and wreck my ass off, and I might finish one with no scrapes on the car. But no, it's just being patient. But I've got a lot of great people around me that I'm super grateful and thankful for, and a great team that allows me to be myself and have fun. I still got a long way to go though on maturing.
This is your fourth full season in the Xfinity Series. You've shown you can win races consistently, run up front, contend for a championship. What is next for you in your career and you know, looking ahead to the Cup level and making that next step, whether next year or somewhere down the road?
Well, I'd love the opportunity to race anything. I really enjoy racing the Xfinity cars and feel really comfortable behind the wheel. I don't know what my future holds, but I'm sure it's kind of a domino effect on where different guys go, but I'd love the opportunity to run a Cup car full time. But you know, I don't have any plans after the second Phoenix race right now, other than the Snowball Derby. So we just got to keep our heads down and keep focusing week by week. I'm not really, I don't have a 1 or 5 year plan set out, but yeah, the goal is to get Cup racing. We just are trying to figure out how to get there. We don't know yet. Thanks.
All right, we're going to go to Daniel, Steven, and then I know I need to come back to over here as well. Go ahead.
Daniel McFadden, Speed Sport. So, Noah, how aware were you coming to the checkered flag that a black number 3 car was bearing down on your bumper coming to the checkered? And I'm pretty sure you're the only active NASCAR driver that could say they beat an Earnhardt in a 3 at Talladega.
That's very humbling. It was really special just this whole weekend. I didn't realize that Jeffrey finished second until he came over to Victory Lane, so that was really cool of him to come over. And man, his suit looked awesome this weekend, and the car looked awesome. And this is Earnhardt country. It's Earnhardt country and Crimson Tide country. So yeah, it's pretty special to be able to run with a Earnhardt Jr. car to the win and have a 3. Just to be on the same racetrack as Jeffrey was really special. And then Brandon McReynolds, I've been working with him for 7 or 8 years now. He's been kind of the guy who's mentored me and helped me, and I work with him each and every day. And without him, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in. And his dad, Larry McReynolds, was crew chief in Jeffrey this weekend. So that was really special just as a whole to see the 3 on the pole. And I told our guys yesterday, I'm like, man, I don't know if you'll ever see a Earnhardt in a black 3 car again on the pole. I don't know how you feel, Dale, but it's a pretty special day or weekend that we got to witness. And I hope it happens again, but if I don't know if we ever will see it, so we need to appreciate the moment while we got it.
All right, we're going to go to Steven, and then we're going to come back here to the left side. Go ahead, Steven.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Noah, I don't know if I was imagining things or not, but I'm pretty sure I saw you doing the gritty in Victory Lane. Did that actually happen, or did I have too much Nerds candy earlier?
I tried to do it. That's like a trend right now, but I'm not very good at it, so it was half-assed for sure.
You got any other dance moves?
No, not really.
All right, we're going to come to the left-hand side here to Jonathan. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Jonathan Field, the Racing Experts. Congratulations on the win, first of all. Second win of the year, of course, new crew chief Luke Lambert. What do you think has been working well with you guys, just your relationship this year?
It's just a great team, the 9 Bass Pro Shop team. And really everybody at Junior Motorsports this year has been working so hard, and we have so much speed in our race cars. The whole, you know, Junior Motorsports as a whole, all 4 cars, sometimes 5 cars. It's it's really cool to be able to go to the racetrack. And we've had speed in the past years, but now, like, all four cars are fast and each and every week. And just everybody's working so hard, and it's a privilege to be able to drive for Junior Motorsports. And the Hendrick Power has been awesome, too. And I think just with Luke and the rest of the Bass Pro Shop guys, we mesh well together. We have similar interests, and he's a cool guy. I go over to Luke's house on Saturdays or Sundays, and we like to drink root beer moonshine and ride his kids' pit bikes around their treehouse they got in the backyard, and build different tracks for their kids with their pit bikes and stuff. And he looks like he's older, but he's like a 12-year-old at the end of the day, just super smart. So, I mean, we're like two peas in a pod. We're like two 12-year-old best friends, I feel like.
And just to follow up with that, too, you said, you know, getting into the Cup Series, you feel like you're relearning everything. How does a win today help with tomorrow's race where you're in such a position like that?
I think it's great confidence, but you're only as good as your last race. And I'm going to try my tail off tomorrow, but who knows how it'll go. And, you know, my goals are to finish the race tomorrow and finish on the lead lap and just execute as best as possible and have a good run for the Beard family and Wendy's. They've given me an incredible opportunity, and they're doing a lot of promoting with Wendy's. It's one of the best looking cars out there. So, you know, I think there's a lot of confidence on the Xfinity side, but I'm still trying to gain that confidence on the Cup side. But it's kind of a clean slate tomorrow. It's a new race and a new day, and we need to go out and attack the opportunity. Thanks.
All right, any final questions for Noah? All right, we're going to come up front to Bob.
Bob, where do I get an IV? I don't know if you got one today.
I didn't need one today.
You didn't need one?
No, I didn't. But just remember, you have a race tomorrow.
I know.
So, and there's a lot of cameras out there, so. What? Well, I don't have rules to follow. Well, I guess I do. I'm curious. You climbed the fence again. Is that something you plan to do every race? And what is it about that celebration that you feel like fits you?
I think it's just cool. Obviously, I'm not the first to do it. Helio and Tony Stewart have done it in the past, and they're the OGs with it. So I don't claim it's mine by any means, but yeah, we've been doing it and just like to pump up the crowd and enjoy just having everyone pumped up, and it's cool to see the pictures and whatnot on the fence. And there's not many people who do it, so yeah, by no means do I claim it's my signature move. It's Tony and Helio, but just like doing it.
All right, any questions in the press box before we wrap? All right, Noah, congratulations again on the win, and we wish you the best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks.